Joining me on the phone now, I have a member of the Green Party, Donna Cooney, candidate in the for the Dublin North Bay constituency in the upcoming general election. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Good morning, I'm fine, thanks. A little sad now hearing about David Bowie. Woke up at 7 a.m. getting texts from my mum and everybody got, yeah, you know, because I knew I was a fan, like, since I was a kid. So I was like,
somebody described it this morning as, it's going to be one of those, where were you when you heard this?
I know, and I was only listening because he actually shares a birthday with my mom on Friday.
Yeah.
And my mom had come in, we'd gone into the, you know, the Moore Street protest thing. I'd been in on the Thursday as well, and they have both their birthdays on the same day.
Yeah.
And I was saying to mom, you know, I get you that album, like, you know, the Black Star. It's actually really good. Like, he was just creating. I didn't even know he had cancer. So anyway, that's gone off the point. But
In fairness, you're just bringing it up, as I mean, it's a point a lot of people are making this morning. He's one of those. I mean, my kids got up out of bed this morning, my youngest lad's 14, and wouldn't know an awful lot about David Bowie or his music, only what they might have heard me listening to on and off down the years. And it was one of those, when I told them, they were all kind of, oh no, you know. So he's one of those icons that everybody knows. It'll reverberate everywhere, and it's a really sad day for music.
Well, he touched three generations, because I say my mom was upset, I'm upset, and then my daughter was upset as well, like, you know. So it's just three generations, so he's touched like three generations really, and he'll go on after.
He will surely go on touching many, many more. Anyway, we could talk about David Bowie all day. We certainly could, and you probably could too. But we might come back to it. I certainly want to. You mentioned the Moore Street campaign that you were at over the weekend. We'll talk about that in a little while, if you don't mind bringing us up to speed about some of the stuff that happened over the weekend. But firstly, you launched your campaign there last week. Was it last week? The middle of last week or the week before?
Nullag na Mór on the Wednesday, on the 6th of January. So we had sort of a bit of a Nullag na Mór party.
Yeah.
And what a storm we had. There was a storm for a scale of winds. I was surprised. The people that got there, I think I must have got about 60 people there. But, like, we had the place to ourselves because there was nobody else in the whole venue. But, I mean, they're very committed people because they got there through that weather, you know.
So. Anybody who this part of the world, anyway, we certainly know you're a seasoned campaigner, have ran in elections before. Does this one feel different? I mean, Dublin Bay North, it's a huge constituency. It's there's an awful lot of candidates. Is this one starting to feel different?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's always a constituency I wanted to run in because, they divided this up. It's a natural constituency, Dublin Bay North, and it's actually where Sean Dublin Bay Loftus had got elected. So there's always been an environmental seat here, you know, and a sort of, a seat for people that they really think a bit differently, you know, and our community activists. So I always thought, like, if there was that, you know, constituents again, I'd have a much better chance of getting elected, you know. So I was delighted when I saw the new boundaries, you know, and I said, gosh, you know, this is a, you know, an opportunity to run again. Like, I hope I get selected, and I hope I can, you know, run again and give people the opportunity, because I always thought if that was there, it'd be better, you know what I mean?
So
I mean, I've always been campaigning about the Bay and love Dublin Bay as well, you know, and it felt like a natural, opportunity to have, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, from, as you say, your own point of view on the Bay itself, and there's been very much in the news over the last few weeks with the dredging and the seawall being constructed along the coast road. Now, so the Bay has been very much in the news, but that aside, the constituency of Dublin Bay North, very mixed. We could, if we want to put classes on it, a huge mix from disadvantaged areas, people on low incomes, all the way up to what we'll call middle class professionals. A huge mix across the constituency. How are you going to get across those kind of lines? Do you think you've something that will appeal to all of those voters?
I think so, yeah, because, I mean, no matter what background you have and no matter where you live, like, the issues of community and voluntary, you know, the fact that I've been working as a community voluntary activist, you know, in the area, it's sort of transcended. I mean, I was a councillor in Dunamead previously, and I mean, to me, like, I was trying to improve the environment there, making sure green spaces were kept, you know, that bad development didn't happen. You know, at one stage they were going to build around the church there, getting trees planted. And I remember when I was done Dublin City Council, there was a list of these trees that were supposed to be planted in the area, and I went, God, I don't recognise any of those roads, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that they weren't being planted there at all, they were planted on the south side, you know? So, okay. Like, that was in my early days. So just even if you go back, they're nice mature trees now. It mightn't seem like much at the time, but when you see them then and you're walking around and you're doing a bit of canvassing and you say, gosh, you know, those little things that seemed at the time are now made, you know, a big difference to people's lives, you know, and to keep the green spaces. And then, you know, just looking after your vulnerable in community, looking for, you know, building healthy communities and access to health services, you know, clean politics, you know, having no corruption, not getting any political donation, not being, you know, in the pockets of any vested interests or big developers or, mm-hmm. or companies, means I think that that's, has resonance for everybody, because they could see what happens when corruption happens and what happens with planning and what happens in the end. You know, that everybody suffers, all our communities suffer, and that, you know, and I think equality for all is something that even for those that have, they feel it's a fair society. Everybody wants a fair society, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody feels happy when the divides are there. You know, who feels happy when they can see young people and families, you know, homeless people, and, you know, the amount of children that are homeless now in Dublin, you know, it doesn't matter what, you know, you could be comfortably well off and be concerned about that, you know. I mean, a lot of people turned up for the carols at Southern Cross, singing mm-hmm. there for the homeless, and, you know, and there's an awful lot of people that, you know, that even if they themselves are not, they know other people that are suffering, because we should have a right to a safe, secure home, and it should be in our constitution. And people need to be able to put things in that, like having water. Water should be in our constitution, that it's protected and it's kept in the ownership of Irish people. We need to make sure that all our assets are not sold off. You know, the things that are our natural environment, mm-hmm. protect that. And then everybody is affected by the cost of energy in this country as well. And it's not secure and it's not sustainable, and it's the biggest cost to most families and most people, you know, when they have, like, people that are even comfortably well off are scared to put on the heating light. They're sort of putting it on for morning, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, and it's, like, cold again last night. And, like, there's elderly people can't afford their heating, you know, and the families can't afford to keep themselves warm. And, I mean, that's not good for your health.
No.
So the long-term effects of that, you know, you've got Beaumont Hospital there. You end up in cold nights like that. You end up with more people in Beaumont Hospital, more costs, more waiting on trolleys. And we need to have secure energy that's affordable and that's renewable energy. And we have the resources here in Ireland to do that, but we're just not making, there's just no commitment in government to do that. And you have people, you know, talking about the carbon taxes as being a cost. Carbon taxes are minuscule. And you know, the government said, oh, that was the Greens' fault. They put them up by even more this time. The Greens actually didn't put in a tax on coal. I mean, there's all this false information, because the reason they didn't put in a tax on coal is because people didn't have an alternative.
Yes.
Like, we put in other alternatives and we were investing in other alternatives, and then we said, oh, when all that's there, when people have the options, when people have the warm, safe, secure, you know, homes that are heated by renewables, that are sustainable, that are, you know, that are not leaking heat out of them, then mm-hmm. we can put a tax on coal, because we knew that it's the poorest people that are using coal, you know. So but this government put a tax on coal, but just blame the Greens, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, so...
Well, that's the vicious roundabout of politics sometimes, isn't it? Everybody blames everybody else. Well, you know, you mentioned a lot of stuff there, and we know that lots of people are disillusioned with, we'll say, the established parties. For want of a better word, there's lots of people very angry. Lots of people still remember Fianna Fáil's part in the crash. Lots of people angry at the way the current government has handled things and everything else. And there's that's led now to the proliferation of all kinds of other little small different parties sprouting up. Right now, the Social Democrats, we have the Anti-Austerity Alliance with People Before Profit. There's an awful lot of voices in there. How are you going to get your message across and break through the noise, as it were? Because, as you say, if people are probably turned off by the traditional parties, if we kind of call the big three the traditional parties, and votes are up to be got, how do you get the message across? Because there's an awful lot of people going to be out there trying to grab those votes.
Well, I suppose it's because I will be going myself on my track record, and I will go on the fact that that I have got a vision for the future. We are facing new challenges, you know, for the future, and it's true that the current system is broken, and we do have to adapt, but not only to survive, but we can thrive, you know, and we do have great resources in Ireland. You know, it's in our people and our natural environment. And other parties don't necessarily, they may be sort of getting angry, and I can understand how people are angry, but I'm saying to people, don't see red, see green, because Greens have a vision for the future, you know, for a better, fairer Ireland, where community is the centre of decision-making. We've always believed that decision-making should be made at the lowest effective level. And that's always been our policy. And now people are seeing that too, because they have been decisions made that are being forced upon them. And they have no, that's not real democracy, you know. We don't even have a directly elected mayor in Dublin. You know, we don't have control over our old destinies.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Greens will get to power in order to actually devolve power to the people, you know. So that is different, because I'm not saying we want to get in there to be power and hang on to power. We want to get in, you know, and be in there in a position so that we can make those changes, you know, that we can strengthen our communities, and that we can give people an ability to make the decisions that affect their lives, you know.
Yeah. Well, the Greens were very much the wiped out in the fallout of the last election and the backlash to the previous government. And, you know, it was probably a difficult couple of years to start kind of clawing your way back into people's consciousness. Do you think people have probably moved on from that now and are happy to embrace the Greens again and their policies?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, you see climate change, you see the effects now we've had with the storms and the flooding, you know. We were told, like, you were going to have one in 100-year flooding, one in 100-year storms, one in every 10-year storms, and now, like, I don't know, like, we're up to HI, you know.
You get them every 100 hours.
So, I mean, we'd be through, we need a second alphabet, like, you know, unfortunately, by the end of the year. So, I mean, the Greens have been talking about this, we've been shouting with Jude, and we were told, like, oh, you know, would you get off your
high horse
box there, you know, high horse, high horse, I thought, you know, we've got more things to be thinking about on the ground. But like Ireland has seen its first climate refugees there, you know, people out of their homes because of the floods, with nowhere to go, you know, living in one room. And these are new realities we're facing, and we have to, there's no reason that we can't adapt and make our society and better for everybody. And, you know, we're coming up to now, we are in now the centenary of 1916, and that those people had a vision. And the problem that's happened with politics since then is that people haven't had a vision. You know, they've been going around just, you know, trying to get into power and making false promises and, you know, and then going again. And we've just had the same old cycle over and over again, you know. And, you know, a few different faces, but really, they're all the same mantra, you know. So,
absolutely.
I mean, we do need to make those, we do need to make changes, and we need to make radical changes. And it may be that it's the Greens and other smaller parties and all independents and all sorts of things, but I think this is going to be big change. And it just takes people to go out there and, you know, and to vote and to, you know, make sure they're registered and make sure they vote, because, you know, I think that people thought maybe last government that they were going to get that change, and, you know, they put their trust, and it didn't happen. But people shouldn't get disillusioned. They should get out there and make their voices heard, because it only benefits those that are in there that have the status quo, that are comfortable, and I'm okay, Jack, you know, for them to sit down and not to vote, you know. So
No doubt it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting times ahead. It promises to be a hugely intriguing election. Donna, we're nearly out of time, but before I let you go, I know you were in at the Moore Street demonstrations over the weekend. Maybe you could just bring us up to speed about what's happening in there and how things are at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously very passionate because my great-grand-aunt was Elizabeth O'Farrell, like, and that's where she spent, saw her people the last time. But anyway, what's happening is that the court case on today, they're hoping to get a hearing today. That's with another branch of Save Moore Street. And then it's Save Moore Street from Demolition. There's a couple of campaigns working on it. And there's the people in the occupation, and then there's the people on the demonstration. But tonight as well, so we've got two court cases on today. There's they're not saying it was, but I presume it's the state or something to do with the state, are taking a case to get the occupiers out. There's a case to prevent the demolition of 18, 19 and 13 Moore Street, which will ruin the context of the National Monument and the terrace. Which needs to be kept in its entirety. And then there's a special motion that's on tonight. The Green Party have tabled a special motion in Dublin City Council tonight. And I suppose with the support in other parties, they'll probably be putting in motions as well, and independents. And we're hoping that people will turn up at 5:30 outside City Hall, bring your placards, you know, and Save Moore Street, and keep using the hashtag Save Moore Street. We're trending. Damien Dempsey was down there yesterday. And, you know, people are giving their support. We even had Brendan Carroll tweeting about it as well, because he'd been down. So I mean, it's gone international, you know. So this is, you know, this is because this is unique.
Yeah, it's heritage, isn't it?
It's heritage. Yeah, it is heritage. And I mean, if you don't respect your heritage, you know, I don't think you respect yourself, because that's your background. You know, you need to be proud of who you are, and you need your heritage, and that's, you know, I think that's important. I mean, it's our heritage, not belonging to anybody else. It's our heritage, and I don't think it's, you know, right for the state to be demolishing our heritage. I mean, who'd have thought, you know, that the National Monuments and the state would actually be, and the Department of Heritage would be promoting demolishing part of our heritage. It just doesn't make sense whatsoever.
It doesn't. So we'll keep up to date on that. Listen, Donna, we're right out of time. Thanks so much for talking to us. And no doubt we'll be talking to you in the coming weeks as the election gathers pace.
People want to watch out. The St. Anne's planning permission is up as well, and that needs, the submissions need to get in for that. Yeah. And also Dublin Bay, keep an eye out for that as well, because Dublin Port Company will be putting a new EIS in for the dumping at sea as well. So just keep an eye on those campaigns, because they'll be coming up quite soon as well now. So.
Well, I'm sure everybody can follow them on your Facebook page.
They can,
you want to get involved. You're up there on Facebook and Twitter and all of those.
There seems to be
God knows, every week there seems to be a new social media platform. Must drive you mad trying to keep up, does it?
Well, I don't mind. I just sort of quickly send off like a tweet or Facebook thing. They're quite simple, and you get the message out there quite quickly, you know, as well.
It's a great form of communication.
It is a great form of communication, and you're not reliant on mainstream media. It's like you're making your own news, and you're going out there, and people, and it's very sort of democratic in that way, because, you know, you're not prevented really from getting the news. I mean, the fact that even things can trend just by people doing it, and I think it's a bit of people power, really, you know, and it's something that can be quite used as a useful tool when it comes to campaigning and getting our message across, protecting our environment and our heritage and people's rights. So.
Indeed it can. Listen, Donna, thanks so much for talking. As I say, no doubt we'll talk to you again as the campaign gathers a pace, and I look forward to this. And thanks very much for coming on this morning.
Bye, thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Donna. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye. There you go, folks. That's Donna Cooney from the Green Party, candidate in the Dublin Bay North constituency for election 2016.